Welcome to Dungeons and Dragons and Dummies, a weekly podcast following a group of friends as they battle across a homebrewed world called Interiath in Dungeons and Dragons 5th edition. Step into the mystical world of Interiath and follow as our party of dummies adventure across the lands. Tali Grug, half orc, half fighter, the mystery, played by Taylor. The Eclarian Shadow, half elf ranger from the Eclarian Mountains, played by Seth. And Alirlock Bloodhair, a Harrigan cleric, played by Joey. Last but not least, the creator of our beautiful world, the man of many voices, and our dungeon master, Sam. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for joining us on this awesome journey through the world of Interiath. On this most recent arc, we have been in the Valley of Cinders. Bushi gave us an urgent mission to go up to Okrajest, which is north of Biliotok, right on the southern edge of Maxim, because Baron Shunfire was dealing with some mutated creatures disturbing his town of Okrajest. After a few days' journey, we make it there, meet the Baron, who gives us a large bounty of 2,400 gold to go up into the Valley of Cinders and clear it of these mutated aurochs, these large thundering beasts that are causing problems in Okrajest with their mutated thundering hooves. The party makes it up into the valley after dealing with several different groups of mutated creatures and lava slimes, and meeting Jekfree, the lizard folk shaman, and Pontor, the leader of a orc raiding party who was trapped in the valley and surrounded by lava slimes. They devise a plan to talk to the rock elementals who live on the edge of the cliffs of the valley and try and work together with them to clear the valley of these thundering aurochs to complete their mission. After some back and forth, they finally devise a plan and they're able to use teamwork to run these aurochs out of the valley. They decide to go back into Okrajest, meet with Jekfree, the lizard folk, who's offered to read each one of their fortunes, and then head back to the Baron to resolve their bounty. We pick up here just as the party ventures into Jekfree's home in Okrajest.
I digress. I invited you here because I wanted to do you all a favor. Read your palms, cast your fortune, if I may be so bold.
Why do you want to do this for us?
That is my trade. That is my practice. I am a shaman of Solstisa. She works in fortunes and, what's the word for it when you talk about prophecies? That's the word. I would obviously know that, but the DM's brain operates slowly sometimes. You'll have to forgive him.
Shadow cautiously but casually takes a step to the side and said, "Feel free, gentlemen," because Shadow's thinking in his head, there is no way that he is going to risk the Archfey's wrath by any type of anything getting done to him that involves magic.
I'm not interested. I'm just having my arms crossed.
He looks at Alirlock and says, "Please, if you will," and he takes a step back and kind of offers a hand out to you. You can see on the ground he's got, there's dust on the ground that on a big stone portion in the center, and you can see remnants of little lines on the ground. He says, "I'll need to prepare the space if you don't mind." So he takes out a little like ceramic pot with a spout on the end, like think like an old oil container, and starts pouring out sand, and he pours out sand in a intricate arcane pattern on the floor. After he pours it out, he steps into it and he motions for you to do the same and step in with him.
Okay.
And then he says, "Your palm."
I hold out my palm.
So he takes it and turns it up, and he takes the sand and pours it all over your palm and just, you know, cascades out of your hand, through your fingers and out of your hand. And then he takes your wrist and turns your hand over while the sand dumps out. And when he turns it back, you can see it's settled into the creases of your palms. It didn't all fall out. And it's in a delicate pattern, tracing the lines in your hand. He very delicately, with both hands, he sets the jar down and picks up with both hands this sand, and it becomes almost like a thread. Think like a loose woven dream catcher sort of pattern. And he picks it up, and as he does, it becomes like this golden thread, and he delicately places it onto a piece of parchment that he has sitting next to him. And by the time he sets it onto the parchment, you see that it's changed shape a little bit, and it's a thick horizontal oval, thicker in the front and thinner towards the top, representing a halo.
She said.
He says, "Ah, the mark of the divine. You were blessed at birth." He takes the sand and takes your other hand, pours sand all over it. And this time, after dumping it out, he pulls up and lays it onto the parchment. And this one looks like, you know, like a classic cartoon water drop, like a point at the top and then a big bulge at the bottom. But as he places it onto the parchment, it's this golden thread sitting there, but then it begins to emanate a red stain into the parchment from the edges and stains red into the parchment. He furrows his brow as he was placing it. He began to speak, saying, "Ah, a single drop of dew indicating that you are destined for something great." But then he furrows his brow when the red starts to pour out from it. He says, I don't understand. This is ominous sign, and I'm not quite sure what it means. I'm sorry. He takes and he rolls up the parchment and he puts it into a case and puts a seal on it, just like you can see it. It says "Eject Free" on it, and he hands it to me. He says, "Here, I'm sorry, I'm not sure what happened there, but this is yours. You may take it." And
Illyrlok looks a little bit visibly shaken, and he says, "Blessed at birth? I don't think you know what a blessing is, my friend." And he takes it and puts it in his backpack.
Shadow just kind of goes, "All you people are all the same. You're just going to say something random to him, and then you're not going to elaborate any. What are you so shaken up about, Jack Free?"
I apologize. I meant no offense. Most of the time, fortunes are simple things, like you will have a good crop this season, or you'll have a bad crop this season, or you will gain some new lover. I apologize. I didn't mean to disturb or frighten you in any way. He kind of shuffles some stuff around. Is there anything in particular I might can help you with? I do have a great deal of knowledge, or perhaps one of you would like your fortunes read.
I don't think you could handle it, bud.
He furrows his brow a little bit at that shadow. He says, "Are you sure it is me who could not handle it?"
I'm positive. If you can't handle some red dots on his, you don't want to see all the colors you're going to get with mine.
Nevertheless, thanks. And I place a single gold piece on his table there, and I walk out the door.
He doesn't say anything.
I'll uncross my arms, and I'm thinking about my parents and just everything that's happened in my life, and I think the curiosity overcomes me, and I'll slowly walk towards him and just kind of go and stick my palm out for him.
He says, of course. He takes the sand, he pours it on there, and he pulls off a thread, and as he goes to place it, you see that it is vaguely in the shape of a human skull, like the top half of a human skull, with a sword piercing out at the top. When he places it onto the parchment, the eyes darken into complete darkness. He says, "You are alone in this world. Lost those who guided you, have you?"
I just nod.
He pours again and takes another one off. This time it's like a arch, like a moon arch, but think only half of it. And on the back end, like on the fat part where the moon crescent would be cut in half, it's very jagged, so it looks like a tooth or a talon or something. As he lays it onto the parchment, he says, the might of dragons. If we look here, this bone is longer, meaning the origins are from your father, not your mother. Is this something you know of yourself? And he's kind of looking at the scale patches on your hands and cheeks.
Yeah, it's something that I suspect. I don't know my father, but I have reason to believe that something with these curses that I have are from him.
Yes, he kind of waves his hand over your whole body up and down. He says, I sense a powerful aura from you. And he takes your other hand and pours on it, and he takes off the thread and hangs it on the bottom of the parchment. And it's just this giant circle, larger than the other ones. He says, the great moon. You are cursed with lycanthropy.
I am. Can you help me with that? That is something that's really bothering me.
To aid you with that is beyond my skill. However, your friend who travels with you, his connection with his deity is quite strong. I believe were he to ask in earnest that he would be able to cure you of this curse.
What?
Yes, symbol, the moon, indicates that you have the common curse of lycanthropy given to you by another cursed werewolf, not a origin werewolf. And so it is not a horribly difficult curse to break. It is beyond my skill, but not for someone like your friend out there.
Shadow's still standing kind of near the door, and he's like, Ears, you hearing this?
Always.
Always. With your 22 passive perception.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks, Jackfree.
He rolls it up and puts it in a tube for you. He says, my pleasure. Of course.
Hey, before we leave, Jackfree, what do you think about this? And I slide the ring off my ring finger with the green gem and toss it to him. You ever seen anything like this?
Yes. Yes, I have. This is quite the artifact. It almost certainly contains... Well, hold on. And he clears a spot out on his table. He sets down a little tray and he pours some sand in it and then blows off the sand and it leaves behind a little arcane thing. And he sets the ring down in the center of it. He says, are you sure you want me to do this? He looks at you.
Yeah. This was a gift from my mother. And I have had a few strange moments in the last few months that I think might be related to this ring.
All right. He puts his hand over it and mutters a few words. Do any of you speak Abyssal?
Do not.
I do not.
Okay, you're not sure what he's muttering, and his hand kind of moves a little bit in a claw motion over it, and then all of the candles snuff out in the room.
Oh, shit.
And you hear a voice. A voice you haven't heard in several years, except for you thought maybe once or twice recently of your mother, that says, hello?
Hello? Mother?
Dalek? Is that you?
Yeah. What is this?
My spirit, Dalek. I'm here with you. And I always have been.
Are you in this ring?
By some magics I don't understand. Yes. I remain here with you.
Are you at peace? Do you want to be here in this ring?
There is no other place I would rather be than protecting you when I could not in life.
Hmm. Talik just kind of puts his head down and a tear wells up in his eye.
He says, Talik, there's something I must tell you about your father.
Please.
He is, well, he's not who I told you that he was. He was a powerful sorcerer, and he was able to do many things. And she fades out, and the candles light back
no,
up.
No, no, no. Come back, come back. Jeffrey, make it come back.
Says, I apologize. I cannot make her come back. It was only for a short time that the incantation could work.
How do we do it longer? How do we help me?
You must find a place where the spirits are connected and in tune, and that she will be able to manifest stronger.
What kind of place should I look for?
A sacred place. Somewhere sacred to your people. Somewhere sacred to her.
Maxim. Okay, thank you. And I grab the ring really quickly and put it back on my finger and clench my fist.
He just kind of nods to you. He says, I'm glad I could help.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Of course. He looks over to Shadow. He says, well, would you reconsider?
I promise you I'm doing you a favor, Jeffrey. I don't have a loving mother hidden in a ring. And walks out the door.
He furrows his brow and just lets you go.
Shadow goes outside and uses primeval awareness to look for any fey in the region. Which, are we in the mountains right now?
We're not. We're
okay. So for 1 mile, he'll sense any aberrations, celestials, dragons, elementals, fey, fiends, or undead.
You do not pick up any within a mile.
So he kind of relaxes some of his tension. He thought that there would be a chance with all this stuff happening around him that some fey could make their presence known. Mm. He doesn't know how much he's being watched right now, but he is not in the mood for that wench.
Well, to the Baron?
Yeah, let's get the fuck out of here. I need to clear my head.
So Shadow starts moving up towards the Baron.
Yeah, you find your way up to the Baron's house. The door is closed as you approach, but the guards all let you through. Yes, the Baron is still at work. You may enter. By this point, it's like 7 o'clock at night.
I just come in, screaming out, because I know we're kind of in a hurry. Baron, we're back. We cleared out your valley. Pay us.
He looks up from his table, and he just nods to Ingram. He just nods to Ingram, and Ingram nods back and walks out of the room. He says, excellent. Ingram is fetching your gold, so you destroyed all the beasts in the valley then.
Destroyed, eh?
Yeah, we ran him out of the valley. What do you know about a fire in the forest north of the valley? Heard anything about it?
He straightens his back a little bit, looks at you, says, yes. What of it?
Do you know what caused it?
Yes. My men set the blaze to run the creatures out of the woods and further into Megdim.
I look over at Shadow and I put my arm out like a parent in the car when you hit the brakes too fast to stop him.
Shadow's already moving forward.
Do I need to make you make rolls, or when he stops you, do you stop?
Shadow stops and his eyes are the deepest, darkest night of black.
Wait, you set the fire?
Yes. I weighed the odds. The creatures were becoming incredibly numerous. We're causing a great deal of death for my people. And not only that, but the Old Boar Woods have always been a haunting ground for tribes of orcs. It allows them to gather and attack us with impunity. This way we have a buffer between us and the wilds of Mexim.
When he says I just take my arm off of Shadow, like, look, and I just raise my eyebrows, like, you asked for it.
Shadow's calmed down a tiny amount because he respects Bushi. He's going to try to speak. And so he looks at the bear and he says, are you familiar with a deep gnome named Treffle down there in the tavern?
Yes, the old drunk who runs the inn? Of course.
Well, he's about twice as intelligent as you are.
The decked out plate mail brass dragonborn next to him stands up, grabs onto his long sword in his sheath, and takes a step forward. The baron reaches out. There'll be no need for that, Heesh. These people are clearly upset.
Calm down, Tiny.
Can you wait till we get paid?
Speaking of about this time, Ingram comes back.
Listen here, like, baron.
Should I wait with the gold?
So he's like over to the side.
It's that time.
Yeah, he's like, He just looks back and forth at you guys. He's like, he just stops. He doesn't come in any deeper.
You do realize you've accomplished two tactical errors. Number one, you force Aurochs down into a place where the Earth Elementals live that you have a treaty with, and if they had stayed there much longer, then those Earth Elementals would have done something to you.
And if it wasn't for us, you wouldn't have a treaty with the Earth Elementals anymore.
It would be over. And number two, you have now removed the only buffer you had between you and Mexim, because even if the orcs could have used the forest as a launching ground for any type of attacks, they would have to move slower. Now it is a scorched wasteland of easily passable roadways for any type of invasion force.
The dragonborn next to him is like, you can tell that he is boiling underneath, but he's perfectly still on top. The baron, a little bit less in control, he stands up and lets out a bit of a booming voice as he speaks. He says, you dare to come in my castle and lecture me on tactics, some ranger from the woods, not capable of understanding one complex interaction between a society.
It doesn't matter what you think a society is, that society was in that woods. They might have been lowly beasts to you, but they had a society of their own in that forest, and you have destroyed it.
Be that as it may, my tactics, as you say, are so inaccurate, clearly have some merit. As it is, I have hired you, and you have completed the job. And now, we no longer need to worry about the beasts if what you say is true and that they have been routed. Now, if you would kindly take your gold and depart.
Not until you tell me what they used to set that fire, because that forest didn't burn easily.
Make me an insight check. Or a perception. Perception 15. Would be fine, too.
Well, that would have been a 19.
Okay.
As a perception.
You see him just glance ever so slightly over at the Dragonborn standing next to him. Make me a history check.
5.
Okay. You're not fully sure why he looked at the Dragonborn, but he says, the specifics are none of your concern. As I said, you were hired to do a job. You completed it. Now, if you are done insulting me in my own castle and would like to take your gold, I suggest you do so now.
Shadow just scoffs and storms out of the castle.
I walk over and grab the gold and just go, let's get the fuck out of here.
Ingram's like, it was nice to meet you.
Wish I could say the same.
Illyrilok was near the front, and then when things got upsetty, Illyrilok walked towards the back and just was a silent observer.
Upsetty spaghetti.
Yeah.
Alright, we got our gold. Let's get the fuck out of this town. I don't even want to sleep here anymore. This guy's a fucking creep. They might come for us in the inn or something. I'd feel safer sleeping in the woods than in here.
What are the odds that Ochre just has a stable with an available horse for less than 64 gold?
How much did we get paid?
Y'all got paid.
It was a lot.
It was either 2,000
or 24,000.
No, it wasn't 1,000. We talked about this.
I think it was 20,000.
It was 2,400 though.
It was 2,400
gold, and you opened the fat motherfucking sack, and it's all in there.
You're never gonna have to fight with me to sleep in the woods.
As far as stables, let me check here. They definitely have a stable, but the guard uses most of them. But yeah, you can ask around. And
would they have gotten the message out that they hate us by this point? I don't. I mean, if we went straight there,
No, probably not.
Okay.
Yeah, you actually find out that you should go see the local blacksmith, and he can help you out. So he doubles as ferryman and keeper of the horses. He's a busy boy.
Perfect.
Okay.
Go just grab someone that's just walking the street and say, "Where's the blacksmith?"
So you find out that he's nearby to where you were, nearby to Jackfree's house.
You better hurry, Lurlock. I don't think we'll be welcome here much longer.
On the outside of town. So yeah, by the time
I'm on it.
Y'all get down to there, and you see a half-orc guy hammering away on a horseshoe as you walk up, and above the sign it says Tong and Hoof Blacksmith.
Hey, brother.
He wipes the sweat off his brows. Oh, hello there. Ah, it's good to see a friendly face. He shakes your hand, Tolik. He says, his name's Grund, but around here they call me Gary.
Hey, Gary, Tolik. My friend here is looking for a horse. Can you help us out?
Oh, yeah, as it were. We actually have, we have one. Just recently, got let loose from the garrison.
It's got, like, three legs.
Yeah, apparently it spooks too much when the rattle of, you know, weapons are rattling. With the rattling noises, it doesn't like the rattles.
Shadow's looking around to see if there's any better horses.
you just see one horse in the stables nearby. He looks like a decently built, I'm not going to say pony, because that'd be harsh, but he's a decently built little horse, thoroughbred.
Thoroughbred pony?
No, he's not a pony. He's a thoroughbred, but he's fairly small.
Scrawny?
He doesn't look too scrawny from a distance. You guys can go over and take a look at him.
Shadow says, what's the deal with that horse?
Oh, that's the one I'm talking about. Yeah, he's just a little bit skittish. But a good horse, all in all. He's really friendly. One of the sweetest guys you'll meet. Here, I've got a... And he reaches down into a bucket. He says, I've got a potato.
Shadow starts looking around to see if there's anybody on a horse.
No, there's nobody on a horse. When you guys were
Shadow
up...
Shadow doesn't like this horse.
When you guys were up by the garrison, there was another stable up there with, you know, several horses in it.
Shadow walks over to this thing.
It kind of gums out at you with his big gummy lips and just kind of like nom 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 nom. He's got kind of a derpy face. He's a white horse with black spots all over him.
Shadow kind of looks over at Alirlock and looks back at this horse. And just like, do you just want to ride with me?
He says, now y'all going to be doing a lot of fighting. He's a good horse. He just doesn't like getting into too many scuffles is all.
Shadow kind of looks over at all of Tolik's weapons hanging off of him, then looks down at all of his weapons hanging off of himself and the giant glaive he's carrying in his hand, and he looks back at the farrier, and he's just like, a bit.
Well, that's all right. You know, that makes sense. You guys adventurers, I suppose.
Something of the sort.
Ah.
How much for the horse?
Oh, I'll give you a deal. 20 gold.
God damn. I go, what's wrong with him? And then I like realize what I said. I put my hand over my mouth.
Oh, what did I say? 20, 25 gold.
Shadow just shakes his head and goes to hop on the horse bareback.
Make me an animal handling check.
21.
He doesn't spook at all. He doesn't move as you hop up. He just sits there. He actually kind of like turns around at you, kind of gums his lips at you again. He's like,
Shadow ruffles his mane in between his ears and coaxes him out of the stall and whips Drakeben out and fires an arrow at the nearest post.
When you fire it, he kind of does a little bit of a sidestep. You actually can see he turns his head a little bit and he looks back up at you.
He's fine. Y'all just don't know how to treat animals in this place, clearly. And Shadow gets off and looks at Lirlock and says, I think you'll do.
All right. And I pulled out 25 gold, laid on the counter.
I appreciate it. I tell you what, I'll even throw in a fresh shot for him.
I'm sorry, you said a fresh what?
A fresh shod. He's gonna put shoes on for you.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
He says, I'll bring him
on.
That's a good question.
Totally reasonable question, Joey. Don't be sorry.
I thought you said shot, like S-H-O-T.
No, S-H-O-D, obviously. Everybody knows horse varying terms.
Yeah, totally.
I don't understand how come Alirlock has so few gold.
Oh, it's just 64 gold. That's not nothing to sneeze at.
Shadow actively avoids gold and has 545.
But you also didn't fail escape with the skin of your teeth.
Escape by the skin of his teeth? What do you mean? Because your previous party had a lot of near-death experiences?
No, his previous party had a death experience.
Oh.
My previous parties have had death experiences.
Oh.
Yeah.
Right now, me and Shadow both are trying to determine how he feels, since his concern was that there was unstable creatures that had created the fire.
Mm-hmm.
Now that he's been confirmed that there are not unstable creatures outside of the Aurochs, he's trying to decide how he feels about where he needs to go next. So, I think that while Joey's horse is getting shoes put on it, Shadow would walk around the corner to Jack Free's place and knock on the door.
Just takes a moment for him to open it. You can see that he's taken off his headdress at this point. He looks at you and he doesn't say anything, and he just steps aside as if to let you in.
Shadow gives a little head shake no and says, "You're right about the Baron, but if you are brave enough to look into me, then meet us outside the city after nightfall."
"Yes, how will I find you?"
"We'll have a campfire."
"Okay, I will do that."
And then Shadow walks off and rejoins the guys at the blacksmith shop.
Okay, so he gets the shotting done, and he looks at either you guys, says, "Either of y'all's horses need a fresh ferry?"
Shadow just shakes his head, like, "What the fuck? Starlight doesn't wear shoes."
"No, revenge is good." I smack him, and a little mud falls off his butt where I smack.
He kind of looks down at both of their feet, and is like, "Yeah, healthy feet. All right. Well..."
A little crackle of electricity goes across Starlight's tail.
At that, he kind of like opens his eyes a little bit. He's like, leans in, he's like, "You better get those guys out of here. You've heard the Baron's not keen on these animals, right?"
Yeah, we're leaving."
All right. Don't be safe out there, all right?"
"Thanks, we appreciate it."
"And I appreciate you."
Okay, so... the best part of the whole session, what is the horse's name? And what are its stats?
Yeah, what kind of horse is it?
It is a standard riding horse.
Sure.
You know, all the rest of that's mostly just flavor.
So a stud, gelding, mare?
It is a... You know what, Joey, why don't you roll me a D6? Or no, a D4, sorry, D4.
Ooh.
Oh boy.
A filly, a mare, a stud, or a gelding?
We'll do them in that order.
And it can't be a colt, I guess, because it's already been rode hard and put up wet.
Oh,
my God.
What are we talking about?
Horse two? Knowledge, baby.
What'd you say, second?
Two?
Yeah, Taylor said a filly, a mare.
Yeah.
Okay, it's a mare.
It's an old female, fixed female.
Yeah, a fixed female. She's not too old. You checked her teeth. But, yeah, she is out of her childbearing days.
Jesus Christ.
So what's her name, Joey?
She pressuring the man.
Man, I didn't... This was off the cuff. I don't have a good name. Hold on. Wait.
What?
Wait.
Okay.
Oh, right. No.
Oh.
Wait.
You need time?
Hold on. Nope.
He's got it.
I got it.
It's in there.
Oh,
it's in there.
It's we're on the cusp. It's right there.
Oh. It's poking its little head out.
Dorian.
I love it. Okay.
Oh, Dorian fares better than the last horse.
Yeah. So, for tonight, he doesn't have any. He doesn't have any boon, but you know, after you spend the evening with him and everything, when y'all wake up tomorrow, he'll be upped by our communion rules.
For the purposes of adding it in my extras page, what type of horse is that?
It's a riding horse.
Ah, there it is. Thanks.
So, you guys go out and make a camp in the woods?
Yep.
There's not much woods north of town. It's a bit of a plain that turns into the Valley of Cinders. So did y'all want to go back south of town, or what were you thinking?
Yeah, south a little bit.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty wooded on the south side. You can go just shortly out of town. No issues.
The moment the campfire is sparked, Shadow throws down a rust bag of tricks, Fuzzball.
Ooh, let's see what you get.
Oh, we haven't done that in a little while.
A 2, which is, I believe, an owl.
Yeah. Oh my god, perfect scout.
You get a lot of owls. You get that more than anything by far.
I think so too.
Goats and owls.
And the boar.
Or the boar, I mean, yeah.
The boar, you've had a bunch. So after a short while, your owl gives a and looks off to the north. And you see, walking towards you, a lizard man.
What do you say, about 10 p.m.? 9 p.m.?
Yeah, it's more like 9 p.m. Yeah, it's not real late. He smiles at you guys, and he is carrying a little basket. And he goes to open it as he gets close to the fire. And inside, you see that it has several vegetables and fruits of various kinds, as well as a big old loaf of bread and some cheese. He says, I thought you might be looking for some comforts of the city, even out here in the wilds.
Otto kind of looks around and goes, well, this is home. And takes some of the bread. But thanks.
He breaks off a piece and hands it to everybody.
Shadow's clearly significantly more comfortable than he ever was interacting with Jack Free in town.
Yeah, he just kind of takes a seat. Like I said, he had taken off his headdress earlier, and he hasn't put it back on. He's in much more subdued clothing now. He seems a little bit more relaxed his own self. More relaxed than you've seen him the whole time.
Well, I'm not trying to be dramatic, guys, but I don't like that city. And if Jack Free's got all these things to tell you guys, I guess I better just suck it up and see what he's got to tell me. So I asked him to come out here and chat.
Makes good sense to me.
He smiles a little bit. He's like, I hope this will be harmless for all of us. He pulls out his sand and a little scroll case with a piece of parchment that he takes out and lays down. And he steps over into a clear area, kind of dusts it, and pours out all of his sand. And then he, you know, motions for you to step up to him.
Shadow complies.
He pours the sand into your hand and goes to tilt it over, and when he tilts it back, there's no threads left in your hand. All of the sand dumps out, and he traces your hand and says, you have an empty family line. You know not who you are.
Well, somebody knows.
He takes your other hand. He pours sand in it and pours it out and tilts it back. And this time there is some left in your lines. He makes a little sigh of relief, you can see. And he takes it and picks it up, places it onto the parchment. As he does so, you can tell it's a simple crown made out of the golden thread that he sets upon it.
Mm.
And he turns back to you. He says, yes, perhaps someone does. This is a clear sign of royal blood. Not all curses manifest on our physical bodies. To have royal blood brings much danger and much responsibility.
Yes, 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 yes. I know this, but what about the wench?
He says, let me take one more. He pours sand into your hand and takes it out. It forms into your hand. This time when he picks it up, it's pretty formless as he holds it. And he places it onto the parchment. And it actually just continues to move around on the parchment, never really forming a full shape. It'll go into like a bit of a circle, and then it'll be like a swirl. And he says, the ever-changing nature of the Feywild. You are touched then.
Yeah, the wench. Touched. I hate that word, touched. Where is she? What is she doing to me?
I'm not sure. Have you met her then?
Oh, we've met.
He lets out just like the tiniest of smile. He says, I'm guessing y'all aren't on good terms.
She tries to kill me every time she talks to me.
I could see how that would be difficult.
Yeah, that's a word.
I'm sorry. I cannot help you with what you should do with the Fae other than exercise extreme caution in any interactions. I'm guessing you already knew that, though.
I did know that. I'm mostly just glad that I'm still sitting here around this fire with you guys, because anytime anything gets too close to me, as far as all
and
this...
as you're talking, the owl just flaps his wings really loud and lets out a and then he kind of goes quiet and everything gets still for a moment.
Shadow's just like, what the fuck? And he spins his ring and asks the owl what just happened.
Bad winds. Something moves on the air. Something unnatural.
What direction?
From the north.
Lirlock, do you hear anything?
Do I hear anything?
Make me a active perception check.
Can I cast guidance on myself for that?
Sure.
Just kind of grab the coin there and utter a few words under my breath.
Utter a tiny prayer.
It's great. 17 plus... you said perception, which is 7, so 24?
Plus guidance?
26.
Okay, so you hear ever so faintly on the wind, almost like it's traveling along the wind, a song cascading down. It's like, have you ever seen the fog roll off of like a big mountain? That's what it sounds like coming into your ears.
Something's coming.
But it's very light and faint and far, far off.
Something strange and mysterious.
Something's coming. Something's coming.
Oh, well, my.
I don't know what's coming.
Jeffrey takes your scroll and rolls it up and puts it in the tube and hands it to you. And as soon as he hands it to you, you hear and feel the of the speak scroll case in your bag. It's puffed, and you open it up, and you actually pull out two pieces of parchment. One appears to be some sort of map, and then the other is a letter from Bushi, and I just dropped it into the Dissy. If you want to read it, or I can read it, if you would like me to do it in Bushi voice.
The Dissy.
Oh my god. All the words you say. Shadow reads it and says, hey fellas, Bushi here. I just got some new information that I think you're going to find very interesting. Apparently, Okrajess is just the tip of the iceberg, as it were, for mutated creatures up north. An old acquaintance of mine that lives on the banks of the Yelkavodin.
That's a V at the beginning. Velkavodin.
Velkavodin says he has seen tons of the little critters. But more than that, he said they are moving, heading west into the Eclarian Mountains. That got me doing some thinking. That monkey man you said you saw at the old moon tower on that strange device. For the record, I can fucking read.
Yeah, the font
this is extremely
is
tiny
very
and
hard.
Scribbled cursive.
Let the record show.
Let the record show.
Turns out the wizard who made Old Moon Tower also had another tower in the Eclarian Mountains.
Oh, shit.
Rising Sun Tower. I couldn't find out too many details about it, but I did get a rough idea of where it is at. I marked it and my buddy Theolin's place on the map here, and have a feeling there is more to this story than we know. Get to Rising Sun Tower, figure out who this monkey man is, and don't die on the way. Bushi.
Oh shit, this is big.
And with it is this map. And so after you read the speak scroll, it flares up and disappears in your hands. But the map does not. And on the map, he says, pretty cool trick, eh? Scrolled on the back of the map.
Jeez. Shadow writes a reply and just writes on it.
You put it in the scroll and give it the twist and it magically disappears inside.
I can't believe, I'm looking at the picture, I can't believe you even did as good as you did.
Oh, reading it?
Thanks.
Oh, it's so hard. It's
painful.
It looks great and realistic, but yeah, it's hard to read.
Yeah, yep. But we all know Bushi would have absolute doctor's handwriting.
That's true.
Like, there's no way he'd have good handwriting, so I left it with that horrible font.
That's great.
It's fantastic. I love it.
Yeah, it looks like it's a properly made map by a cartographer, but it's been labeled in Bushi's handwriting several different places. So Okerjest is labeled on it. It's a map of the kind of far northwestern region of the continent. It's got the mountains along it. It's got a good portion of Mech Zim covered in it. It's got Okerjest marked and says like Tabiliatok south and Fev to the west, and it even has a city on the far northeast labeled as Pokorit up near the swampy area. But Beolin is labeled as a little hut right next to the Volkovodin River, which is the giant river that runs through Mech Zim. Shadow and Talik would both be very familiar with that river, but it's large and famous. Even a Lirlok would know of the Volkovodin. And the Rising Sun Tower is labeled on the north side of the Volkovodin, just to the west of the peaks of the Eclarian Mountains. So way far north. I mean, we're talking, each of these hexes is 25 miles. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. I mean,
2 weeks north.
Yeah. A long journey north. So we are going to do an old-fashioned hex crawl, if you guys are interested in following this lead, to head up there. And y'all will tell me which hex y'all want to move in each day. So since they're 25-mile hexes, if you're moving through a grasslands, you know, just an empty space on the map, you can go 2 hexes per day on your horses. If you're moving through forest, hills, or mountains, those would be difficult terrain, so it would take a full day to move a single hex, even on horseback. But Shadow will remove the difficult terrain for the mountains and hills. I'm differentiating between hills and mountains as far as encounters and stuff go, but they both count for mountains as far as your ability. So really forests are the only thing that are going to make y'all travel 1 hex a day.
And we're starting in Okerjest.
And y'all are starting in Okerjest.
So from a flavor standpoint, I feel like Shadow would be like, I know the trails in the Eclarian Mountains to move faster than trying to go around the forest. Let's enter the mountain range at the southern end.
Yeah, I trust you.
Let's talk through how we're going to do this. First off, we're going to fast forward to the next morning at this point. Is there anything else y'all wanted to say to Jack Free? He would leave after chatting with you guys and having dinner.
No.
So basically, you see this whole deciduous forest section, all the hexes right north of Okerjest for 75 miles to the north and 50 miles wide.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, y'all could see very far from where you were. All of that is what used to be the old Boar Forest and is now ashes.
75 miles of forest burned in cinders.
Shadow wouldn't even want to continue even partially north. He would immediately want to go immediately west into the mountains.
Yeah, I'm good with that.
Okay, so let's cover how this is going to work, because it's gamified a little bit, all right? The time spent will be based on what you're traveling into, right? We'll just assume that you're traveling through forest that whole day as you move into a hex.
Okay.
Every day, I'm going to roll for what like the weather and temperature is like and precipitation. The reason that'll be important is because we are actually going to track rations. So you guys will all start with 5 days worth of rations, leaving the city here. And y'all will be responsible for gathering and keeping your rations as you go. So every day, each player for each hex that you enter, so you can make multiple in one day if you go through multiple hexes, you will roll a survival check or a perception check, or if you want, you could roll a history check, or you could explain something else that you want to do. But there's specific mechanics for survival checks and perception checks if you want to take one of either one of those each day. If you low roll on your survival check, then you'll get enough food and water for one day for one person. If you roll better than that, then you might find that plus some sort of sign of something interesting that you could look into. If you roll really well, then you can find enough food and water for one day for three persons. So one person could feed everyone and water everyone each day. We're going to track water and food separate. So you each start with 5 days worth of each. However y'all want to do that, you can do it on a piece of paper with tally marks, or you can put it, add a custom item for water or rations to your sheet.
Is food and water one thing, or we're saying
no,
5 days of food, 5 days of water?
Yeah, 5 days of food, 5 days of water, track them separately, because depending on whether it's really hot or really cold, you might need additional water if it's really hot, or you need additional food if it's really cold.
I think, Shadow, you lead the way. This is your homeland. We'll follow your lead on the actual traversing.
Shadow is just basically like, guys, I don't care which way we go, but I'm telling you this right now. We need to get west, and we need to get through these woods into the mountains as fast as possible. Because.
As we do this first trip through the woods, I'll use my survival skills from my couple of years that I spent wandering around before I made it to Biliotok and see if I can gather some rations for us, some small berries and stuff.
So are y'all headed off to the west, like slightly northwest since it's a hex?
Yeah.
All right, so y'all move it all. So y'all are moving into a woods node. Yeah, y'all give me whatever checks you want. So you rolled survival.
8.
Man, that's your total?
Yep.
So you are unable to find anything with that,
there
actually.
Ain't shit in these woods, boys.
So I'm going to also roll survival for food. 16 plus 7, 23.
23?
Yeah.
That was survival?
I have a plus 7 to survival.
You find a huge batch of berries and are able to pick like an entire basket of berries. It's enough food for all three of you for a full day.
Hell yeah.
So you can all add one. Or Joey can add 3 if he wants to be stingy.
No, I'm going to share a ration for each person.
I love blackberries.
They're really good, yeah.
Nothing like eating a ton of blackberries all day.
Really good, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, good.
Oh, man. What was Shadow rolling?
Survival.
All right.
11.
11? You find a small batch of mushrooms. It's enough for one person for the day, and you also find enough water for one person for the day, so you can increase your total by 1.
Guys, this Rising Sun Tower thing, I've never been there. I know where it is, but we can't just walk up to it. I mean, not only is it really far, you can see it on Bushi's map here, but y'all need to understand that river, y'all have heard of the Velkavodin River before, right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's not just something that we're just going to hop across when we get there. And I don't like the options for getting across it.
We'll figure it out when we get there.
Looks like it's still a ways away. Yeah, we got some time.
Okay. Shadow's just thinking to himself, like, this could get crazy.
Don't you have some friends up here in the mountains?
Yeah.
Yeah, so y'all taught me, what kind of is y'all's intended path? You know, y'all have immediately headed a little bit west and north, but, like, what's the overall plan, mapping it out a little bit?
So Shadow's intention is to make up ground because he knows the pathways and trails in the mountains. He knows where to go versus trying to make his way through the forest could take a little bit more time.
I like that. Like here, like along this edge, like this east edge of the mountains.
So keeping to the foothills or going up into the high mountain where it's like... Basically, so there's the foothills, which are drawn with the smaller mountain shape, and then there's the high mountains, which are the higher mountain shape, and so that's basically where the thermocline is. That's kind of the difference there. Those high mountains are like icy mountaintops.
Shadow would want to be keeping just below the thermocline, up into the mountains where he knows what's up, but far enough down to where he doesn't disturb those that may be residing on the top.
And keeping me and Lirlock from climbing through icy peaks. That's not our area.
It's not preferred.
Yeah. We can always go the long way around and go up through Megzim.
Yeah, fuck Megzim. We don't want to go through there.
Okay, that's kind of how I felt too.
He's like, I didn't say it. Look.
I did my time in that hellhole. I'm following you.
All right. So now, hold just one moment. When we get to the river, I mean, surely someone in Thielen will have a way to cross the river, right?
I guess I better tell you now. We might have to get a little, what's the word? Ballsy.
All right. Just gonna go back to my berries now. Not gonna worry about that for now.
Yeah, that's a long time.
You're right.
Let's just survive this forest.
Okay. Nothing else of note happens today on the 35th. And so y'all start the next morning on the 36th. You know, you make your way through the woods a little bit slower, but y'all manage to find a bit of a path. What rolls are you going to make before y'all roll them? Who's rolling survival? Who's rolling perception?
I'm survival.
I'm going to roll perception.
Okay.
We're still in the forest.
Oh man, this one's kind of halfy. I'm going to call this one you're moving into the foothills, which means y'all will be able to move two spaces today.
Oh baby, 21 on my survival check. I must have ventured over here as a kid from Megzim.
A 24 in perception.
A 24? It's a very warm day in the foothills. It is actually not very windy. It's 90 degrees. Which is uncharacteristically warm for the season. And there's a light haze in the air. It's just holding in all of the heat. 21 on the...
survival.
So on the survival, you only find enough food and water for one for the day, but you also find some strange pockmarks in the ground.
Okay.
They appear to be some sort of pattern. Shadow, you actually hear a sound coming from off where the tracks appear to lead. With that perception check, Joey, you find a small bird's nest, and in the bird's nest is some eggs that are worth one food. So even though you did a perception, you get that. But there's also a scroll that the bird has woven into the nest, and it appears to be a magic scroll.
That's interesting. And I'll pluck that from the nest along with the one day's ration of eggs, and we'll store those away.
It is a scroll of silence.
Oh.
You're going up into the mountains, and Talik finds some what appear to be tracks, but they're just like point holes in the dirt around this kind of rock outcropping. As you're looking around and paying attention, Shadow, you actually hear the clicking sound of some nasty jointed creature, for lack of a better word. And it alerts you to the giant spiders that come crawling over a nearby rock. And so they are not going to have surprise on you guys, but we're going to need to roll initiative.
Find out what happens to our party next week. Check us out at dndndummies.com. And please leave us a rating and a review on your podcast app. It would mean the world to us. That was wild.
This was an experience.
I was sad. Almost touched my cold black heart. Taylor's cold black heart.
Now that's a lie.
Oh my! Yeah,
that's true. I said almost.
Almost.